definitely human.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to the International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review Podcast, the podcast for the pre-hope generation. I'm David Price.
And I'm David Knight. And this week, we're reviewing Nutella biscuits.
And as ever, we'll be scoring the biscuits on taste, texture and dunkability, and biscuitness.
And obviously, we'll get into it in a minute, but I think it speaks volumes that the main thing you notice on the biscuit packet is Nutella.
They're not fucking around.
No.
It's not like Nutty Bickies or something. Nutella biscuits.
You're buying Nutella.
Exactly.
They just happen to be in biscuit form now. It is like one of those books where the author's name is bigger than the title
of
the book.
Yeah, it's kind of imposing. Mm. This feels kind of challenging.
Yes, because the packet itself... Are we just going straight in? We're just going to go straight in and talk about the packet? I like this. We're kind of streamlined.
No, because I...
Yeah, let's just go.
I mean, I think when I say it, feels like imposing and kind of a challenge and a little bit... confrontational. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's just the biscuits, to be honest.
Right. Well, that's all that's here, apart from us.
Well, yeah.
Because we always record in a room with nothing in it.
Yeah, it's like a set from 2001 Space Odyssey or something.
That's right, yeah.
Except cleaner and whiter somehow.
It makes the biscuits the focal point, and I think that's what we need to start doing more.
Yeah, I think it's kind of what you're wearing. I'm finding quite imposing and official.
Interesting.
Very official. Yeah. Very, very un-David, I'd say, this outfit is.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know... What have we had in recent weeks? We've had the orange/strawberry/raspberry.
The raspberry.
You were like some kind of pantomime dame or something.
Macbeth.
And then you were some kind of leather daddy.
Crocodile Dundee.
You know, and I say if there's a kind of a common thread tying those together, it's having no kind of integrity, no kind of gravitas.
Okay.
Just being kind of cartoonish in a almost an embarrassing way. This week's costume is definitely not that.
Well, that's because I'm not wearing a costume this week. I have a little bit of a bone to pick with you because I specifically remember telling you not to wear a costume either. I mean, maybe you didn't get the memo, but I thought it would be better for us and for the brand and for the show if we wore uniforms instead of costumes. Mm. Right, so that's what I am doing.
Yeah, I got the memo, which was quite weird because people say, did you get the memo? And I never knew how memos were sent or received. So it was quite strange when a man in a suit turned up with a memo. Didn't think that actually happened. So I did get the memo. Thank you for sending it. I hope it didn't cost too much because we haven't got a lot of money.
Well, it seems like whatever it cost, it was in vain because you didn't...
Well, I thought about it and I was going to, but then I was like, well, hang on. I am wearing a uniform. I'm wearing the uniform of God and... the uniform of Christ.
You're wearing the same saint outfit that you've been wearing every other month, except you now have a jester's hat on.
Well, yeah, you know, because I also think, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with you that this is the right way to go for the show in terms of being more streamlined, more brand focused, whatever that means. You know, I think you can find more truth through fun and playfulness and not taking things so seriously.
Which is what you're doing.
And, exactly.
And the listeners can tell that judging from your tone that you're someone who doesn't take things seriously.
Yeah. From the tone of what I say and the things I say as well. They can tell I'm a, you know, I'm pretty laid back, pretty chilled out guy.
Laid back and chill.
It's fun, yeah, silly, right. Frivolous.
Well, okay. It seems like we're not quite on the same page on this,
yeah.
Which is a shame, but I think we can work through it because we're professionals.
Right. Are you actually a person, though?
No, I'm not dressed up for this one. I'm wearing a uniform.
So what are you then? Uniform man?
Not uniform man. I'm David.
Right.
I'm your colleague David. It's not a costume. Damn. It's a uniform. It's the clothes that I wear for work, which is what we are doing now. Okay. We are right. At work. Okay. We are in the office. Mm-hmm. We are reviewing a biscuit product, as we do every month, for our job at the International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review podcast.
Yeah.
I just think maybe now is the time to start taking that a bit more seriously.
I hear what you're saying. And yes, this is the job, despite what HMRC dispute. This is a real job. Mm-hmm. Feels like you're sucking the fun out of it. And what's this got to do with Nutella biscuits?
It only seems like I'm sucking the fun out of it because we're sort of interrogating. Right. I wasn't going to mention that I was wearing the uniform. I was just going to get into the biscuits and then we would have fun reviewing the biscuits. But you've sort of brought it out, you've drawn it out and you've drawn attention to it.
Yeah.
And that's where we're kind of at an impasse, I think.
Right, okay.
But okay, if you want to make it fun, that's fair enough. I can see where you're coming from. Perhaps then why don't you talk about your costume and how fun it is.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably a good idea to try and set an example, perhaps. So, I mean, you probably already figured it out.
Yeah, you're some kind of Saint Jester kind of character.
Yeah, not a million miles away, actually.
Okay.
I'm Saint Simeon, aka Simeon the Holy Fool. So, right. Simeon, 6th century AD in Syria. It is claimed that he simulated madness in order not to be venerated for his social deeds. He got this reputation for doing a number of things. So probably the thing which really caught people's attention, he'd been from the age of about 20, I think, he then spent the next 29 years in the desert, you know, just kind of being an ascetic and just, you know, getting close to God, etc. And then went to the town of Emesa, I believe it's pronounced. And when he walked into the town through the gates, there was a dead dog tied to him. Which just dragged on the floor behind him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems like a bit of a missed opportunity with the costume.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's limits, you know, it's pretty hard.
You have a dog, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And I tried kind of getting him to play dead,
right.
And then dragging him, and that didn't work so well. So yeah, so it just wasn't practical, basically. Right. Okay. You know, it's not that they didn't try.
Sure.
So I don't want that to be the impression. So yeah, he was also he also got his reputation because he would go into services and kind of knock over bits in the church and threw nuts at women.
Nuts?
Yeah. Tie him back to the Nutella because there wasn't like a patron saint of nuts.
Right, okay.
So yeah, that's the tie. Part of the reason why he got his madness was doing that. I know you're probably wondering, like, why was he acting this way? The view is that Simeon had decided to play the fool in order to mock the idiocy of the world and also to conceal his own identity as a saint. And when I read that, I was like, yeah, this is a connection. I get this guy.
Because you are just pretending to be a fool? Is that the connection?
Yeah, pretending to be a fool, mocking the idiocy of the world,
right.
Concealing my own identity. I'm not sure if I'd go so far as to say I'm a saint.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave the names to other people, but you know, you can see I'm certainly on a path.
Is this part of the foolish thing, you comparing yourself to a saint?
No, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
so, you know, now this is making you reflect, isn't it? You know, so
it
making you look inwards, Mr. Suit Man.
Nope.
Uniform Man.
It's not even a suit. It's just a shirt and tie because we're at work.
Right. Okay.
I've taken my jacket off because it's warm in here.
Okay.
And also to communicate that, you know, we're just two friends hanging out, but, you know, in a work environment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, this is feeling pretty hanging out.
Just, yeah, we're at work, but we don't have to take ourselves too seriously. But
exactly,
there should
that's
be
what
some,
I'm saying.
Some structure.
Mm, well, it isn't just silliness because we are helping people as well,
yes.
As Simeon the Fool did. It was only after his death that the secret life of Simeon came to light. So again, I think possible parallels with myself there.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to wait and see in another 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, people start to talk about his acts of kindness and about his strange and powerful miracles. So there's a few examples. So there's a mule driver whose vinegar Simeon turned into wine so he could start a successful tavern.
Okay.
There was also a rich man who was saved from death when Simeon threw a lucky 666 at dice. So Simeon
What?
Going into casinos, you know, seeing those degenerate gamblers, like this guy is about to gamble everything away, and Simeon was like, yeah.
Okay.
You know, there was a young man that Simeon punched in the jaw to save him from an affair with a married woman.
So hang on. So his kindly acts that sort of got him a title of saint was helping someone open a tavern, playing dice, and punching someone in the face.
Yeah.
I guess I don't see how any of that sort of adds up to saintliness.
Okay, well, one more then. So he also tried to save a man whose eyes, he had something called leucoma. So Simeon, looking to his favorite, Jesus, who had previously used saliva and clay to cure a man of blindness. So when the man with the eye disease approached Simeon, he anointed the man's eyes with mustard, burning him and aggravating the condition to the extent that he reportedly went blind. Later, the eyes were apparently healed by the advice of Simeon. So I don't know whether the guy went back to Simeon after he blinded him and was like, "You got anything else you want to try?" But then Simeon kind of used the whole situation to explain the man's sins and bring him to correction.
Right.
So
was Simeon the one reporting all of these miracles?
Well, apparently not, because people were like, "Oh, Simeon, guy who died last week, he's a weird bloke. Threw in nuts at my wife in church and stuff." And some other guy, I guess, was like, "Yeah, he was. But you know that tavern I've got, the really successful one? Yeah, that was thanks to Simeon. He turned the vinegar into wine." And then the other guy's like, "Oh, that's funny, because, yeah, I was trying to have sex with a married woman and Simeon just came and punched me in the jaw and it kind of saved my marriage." And then you've got the other guy who's like, "Yeah, Simeon, he helped me as well. He threw some dice because I was in debt and I was going to lose all my money." I did end up losing all my money because I was a degenerate gambler and Simeon did nothing to cure that.
Yeah.
But on that one roll of the dice, he helped. So they kind of, you know, join the dots and they're like, "Oh shit, man. Yeah, Simeon, he was really good." Again, you know, similarities.
Right.
It's like looking in a mirror.
So you think people will sort of look back on their interactions with you favorably and sort of come to the conclusion that you're actually sort of secretly behind the scenes helping them, even if it didn't seem that way at the time.
Exactly. And as I read, his story is summed up. It's called a holy fast, but the thing said, "His life shows how God chooses," and this is a quote from the Bible, "the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the strong." I've been doing a similar thing, although kind of reverse, like the wise things of the world shaming the foolish, and I kind of, you know, I'm kind of like the strong shaming the weak. But, you know, I'm now switching that around a bit. I'm going the other way. So now I'm going to be the foolish one, shame the wise. I wouldn't say I'm weak, but, you know. So, yeah, so I think, you know, overall, cause obviously I've cycled through quite a few different saints. Probably, you know, I haven't really hit on the one for me, the one which is going to, you know, lead me to the promised land. But I think Simeon the Fool could be the one, because I feel like him and Matt Hancock, my two kind of, my two North Stars. You can have two North Stars. Both are like in dignity. And by playing the fool like them, I can educate people. Because some people say, "Well, what is the show? I've not heard of it. Is there any good? Do people listen to it?" Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Well, it's not about whether people listen to it."
Well,
you know, I'm not looking for the credit and the recognition now.
Okay.
I think Simeon has shown me the path to walk.
Interesting. I am also on a path more sort of devoted to funding growth opportunities and driving progress, rooting out inefficiencies and talent mismatches within the company.
Okay.
So we are both on paths.
Okay.
It's just slightly different objectives. Maybe that's where we can sort of work together and synergize. Right. So you play this foolish character with the costume and everything.
Yeah.
And I'll keep us on the tracks.
Right. Okay. Know? Okay.
If you imagine we're like a train.
Yeah.
Lots of fun carriages. Lots of things going on in
great.
The train.
Yeah. Whacka whacka.
Whacka whacka. Yeah. What have we got on a train? We've got the seats, obviously. We've got the trolley area, luggage storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sort of the engine, the driver's
area
of the train. So there's lots of different components to the train where fun things are happening. But the important thing is, the train stays on the tracks and it goes in one direction.
Right, okay. And you can have fun anywhere on
you
the train.
You can have fun anywhere on the train.
So in the carriage.
In the carriage.
Fun.
Yep.
Luggage store.
Yep.
Food area. That's okay for fun?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. I mean,
what about the drivers? Driver's area. Can you go and have fun in the driver's area?
I do not think that is usually accepted.
Well, maybe we should push into that.
Okay.
You know?
It feels like all I've done is sort of set up a fairly simple metaphor there, and you're already pushing at the edges and finding ways where you can sort of break it. I feel that's not productive.
Yeah, no, it is, because that's how you get innovation. You know, it's innovation. That's what it is.
Well, one thing I'd love to get into is the biscuits, which is what this show is about, biscuit reviews. We've talked a lot about what we're wearing, yeah, which is okay. You know, which is very fun.
Yeah.
I agree with what you were saying about having fun, but maybe it's time to have a look at the Nutella biscuits.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, yeah, we got a nice rustly packet.
Yes, lovely.
Great for audio.
Yeah.
As we said, just Nutella in the biggest. This is probably the biggest font I've ever seen for a biscuit. Yes,
it is all you see.
Yeah, it's just Nutella.
And like, it's a big packet.
So yeah, they've got the classic Nutella with the black N and then the red Nutella.
Mm-hmm.
And then biscuits and kind of, I don't know, a sort of a cursive.
It's generic cursive.
Yeah, generic cursive. And then we've got a couple of giant-sized biscuits with some ham. You can see the creme on the inside of one of them. But then the background, a cup, no identifiable liquid in it, but a cup. And then behind that, an orange and an apple.
Oh, yeah.
Did you even notice?
No, I didn't.
Do you think maybe subliminally you noticed?
That is very strange.
It is. What are they trying to... They're trying to say it's healthy, aren't they?
Yes, there's, I suppose, some implication that it is to be eaten as part of a healthy, balanced diet. Rather than saying that in the old way, they're innovating. Yeah. They're doing something new, and they're just showing you.
It's adding a bit of variety of colour. Because, like, otherwise, you've just got the beige biscuit.
Yeah.
And, like, beige is almost like shorthand for no nutrition.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, we'll stick in a... It was like an apple, it's like an orange there. Absolutely nothing to do with the biscuit.
It's brilliant.
This is next level packaging. It's
really clever.
I think the closest we've come to this before is probably the Malvina's Cocoa, where they had the palm trees on the package.
Yeah.
And it's giving you a vibe of tropical paradise.
But the contrast is stark because that's the first thing you pick up on when you look at it. It's so badly done.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, it's just, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Already you're kind of on side and you don't even know why.
A little bit freaked out, man.
Yeah. Maybe talk about the actual packet itself, because it's not like a normal biscuit packet.
No, it's like a plastic pack with like a resealable top.
It's almost like space food.
Yeah.
Because when you open it up, let me just...
Is it childproof as well?
That's great. That's the kind of humor that you want to be bringing to
right,
the show.
Right, the silliness.
Yeah, it's foil inside. It keeps it fresh. Space age technology.
That is space age. Okay, so on the back, we've got crunchy golden baked biscuit, Nutella, creamy heart. May contain mustard. So
that's the second reference to the biscuit that your costume has.
Exactly.
Nuts and mustard.
This is probably the most congruous costume that I've ever had.
And that is a pretty bad indictment of your costumes generally.
Well, I think maybe it's just a what's the opposite of an indictment? Celebration?
I guess that's one way to win an argument, is just to say it's not that, it's the opposite of that. That is a good smell.
That's just like pure Nutella fumes.
Mm.
You acquired these biscuits. How much were they?
About $3.50. I think that makes me trust them more, that it's so expensive.
Yeah, I feel like we're in the hands of some professionals here. I'm a little bit intimidated. Like, I feel like maybe I'm not going to come up to the standard.
Yes, I feel that way about you as well. Because the packet stands up.
Yeah.
It's tall. It's imposing. It kind of towers over you. It's almost the shape of a skyscraper.
It is, yeah. It's kind of redefining what biscuits can be.
You put two packets of biscuits next to each other.
Mm.
What is every other packet of biscuit going to do? It's going to be lying down. Because that's the way biscuit packets are commonly shaped. They are lying down. This one is towering over them.
Dominating.
Very dominating.
I think I'm about to be dominated.
I think you are as well.
Okay, then.
It's a good job you're hungry.
Yeah, they're pretty substantial.
It's like a package.
Yeah,
it's
do you
want to
try and explain, like, describe?
The best I can describe it is like a big, chunky coin.
Yeah.
But it is thick.
It's almost a bit like a little pie.
Yeah.
It's like a little casing which appears to have been filled with Nutella creme and then just like a little lid put on top.
Yeah, it's like a sacrificial stone.
Yeah.
In the middle is where you would have the victim.
Yeah.
And then their blood would run down and sort of form that kind of form that circular thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's almost got like a slightly handmade look of it. It's like either they're doing it to cut corners and cut costs, which I respect, or they are doing it a bit silly and just being like, whoa, there you go. The chocolate goes in, the lid goes on top. There's another biscuit down the line.
It's kind of intentionally faux rustic, I suppose.
Okay, yeah.
Which I really like.
Yeah.
It feels kind of more homemade
and
there's something nice and warm about that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know that it's been made by machines who are the most professional workers that there are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You're not going to get much more professional than a machine, are you?
No, exactly.
So you know you're in good hands. Exactly. Machine hands.
Yeah, well, thank God that there aren't any machines to replace us.
Yeah.
Also, Reminds me of Jammy Dodger.
What?
Yeah, okay. Hear me out. The Jammy Dodger, if you recall, what's on that?
There is a heart. Yeah.
And what's in the heart?
There is an N.
For Nutella. And what was on the Jammy Dodger? The JD, you know?
That's true.
But this has done well.
I mean, this is really interesting, actually. I think we might be onto something. Because like what we were talking about with the Malvina's cocoa, right? With the palm tree versus the much more subtle use of fruit. Here, it's doing the same thing as the Jammy Dodger, but better, faster, stronger.
Yeah.
It's like it has adapted, mm-hmm. like almost like a machine.
Yeah.
It's learned the ways of other biscuits, mm-hmm. inferior biscuits, and it's using them, but it's improving on them and making like the best, most sophisticated, streamlined version of that.
Has Nutella become self-aware?
Mm,
are we dealing with a Skynet Cyberdyne situation?
That's what it feels like.
Chang, 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 chang.
Yeah, that's fun. It also makes me think of a stamp, like an old tiny red wax seal. It's very bold,
mm-hmm.
arrogant almost, but you've got to respect it.
You got to. I mean, yeah, you got to respect it because it might kill us.
And how many biscuits have we reviewed in the past where we have just spent this long talking about it? And this entire time that we've been talking about it, listeners, we've just been showing the biscuit to each other from across the table, even though we are both holding the same biscuit.
Yeah, but there's something I'm compelled to show David the biscuit.
And I'm compelled to show you my biscuit. Like, I'm looking at the biscuit that you're showing me.
Yeah.
You're looking at the biscuit that I'm showing you, even though we would be able to see it much clearer if we just looked at our own biscuits.
But incredible. The power of Nutella compels you.
Like you're part of the Nutella brand?
Okay, I got to pull this back a sec because I'm David the Holy Fool.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be silly. Let's see.
So for listeners at home, after announcing that he must now be silly, my colleague David threw his biscuit into the air, opened his mouth, and caught the biscuit with his eyeball. I would say that is a successful catch with the eye, if that was your intention.
No, I was actually trying to catch it up my nose.
Oh, whoa! Interesting. Now it's kind of too many layers of silliness now. It's
a bit, okay.
Remember, if you make it too clever, it stops being funny.
Yeah, maybe it's got to be more absurd. It's like dragging a dead dog. You
yeah,
know?
That's
it's
like, right. Yeah.
It's not like ha-ha funny.
No, but you recognize that it's meant to be funny.
Yeah, right?
And like, so that sometimes that's enough.
All right, then. Let's see.
Let's do it, yeah. I would say that was exactly how I expected it to taste.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And therefore, perfect, right?
No surprises.
Just from the look and shape of it and from the fact that Nutella's logo is so prominent on the package, mm-hmm. my assumption going in was this will be like Nutella with a kind of hard biscuity shell that doesn't taste of that much. It's really just like a vessel to get the Nutella into your mouth.
It's a delivery device
for
the Nutella, like a suppository or something.
Right, exactly.
Just get it into you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the biscuit is kind of, it's not bad, but it is just a vessel, you know? Mm. You don't buy like a tin of soup and be like, oh yeah, that was a great tin. Don't care about the tin.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, wait, sorry. You're into the tin as well?
Well, no, I just thought that was a slightly strange argument because there are other types of food that are contained within food delivery parcels, whereas a tin, no one actually eats the tin, do they? Unless you're a goat. Another example you could have used, like a pasty, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Would you have a pasty without any filling in it?
No.
No.
Yeah, I think that's the actual biscuit. You wouldn't choose to have it on its own. If they were like, here's just like an empty Nutella biscuit, I'm okay, thanks.
Yeah, but at the same time, what they've done is they've designed something that is, one, perfect for the role that it has, mm-hmm. Which is a delivery system, and two, is unobtrusive in and of itself. Like, mm-hmm. the fact that you're not getting any flavor from it, obviously by design,
mm-hmm.
and you appreciate it because you're like, well, I'm not getting any weird aftertaste of like vanilla or some weird thing that they've put in there just to give it some flavor.
It's focused. As the packaging tells you, it's about the Nutella.
It's all about the Nutella.
That's why you're buying it. So we're just going to give you a massive dollop of Nutella.
It's almost an answer to the Ferrero Rocher, isn't it? In a way.
Okay.
Because when you think of a Ferrero Rocher, a lot of that is Nutella, but it's also this nutty thing that has its own kind of flavor contribution to the experience that I'm not sure I necessarily appreciate. Whereas here they've gone, you know what, forget the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just Nutella, but it's slightly more sophisticated than putting a spoon in a jar.
It's a bit like Ferrero Rocher for babies.
I guess you could argue. I would say that babies would put the spoon in the jar.
Right, okay.
This is a way to have that experience.
Where you want to be a baby.
Right.
But you lack, I guess, the will to be a baby.
Well, I would say you lack the ability to be foolish.
I think that is very deceptive. I haven't had Nutella for a long time. Mm-hmm. Part of my saintly duty. I'm not sure if they say specifically don't have Nutella, but it feels like you probably shouldn't have Nutella.
It does feel like a sin.
It does, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I should just be probably just having it from the jar and perhaps putting the jar on my head, smearing the Nutella on my mouth and saying goo goo gaga or something.
Yes, that's
foolish,
right.
Foolish, silly, yeah. You know?
Because you have the kind of personality that can let go of their inhibitions in that way. This is a product for people that don't.
Yeah.
Perhaps on some deep subconscious level. But what are we talking about? We're getting into biscuitness here.
Yeah, sorry.
We're supposed to be talking about taste.
Yeah, keep it focused. You know, we've got our work cut out here, you know, so we've got to stay focused. Okay, taste. Well, the taste kind of comes down to, do you like Nutella or not?
And if not, why are you buying a packet of Nutella vessels, which is what these should be called?
They call them Nutella biscuits, but I think it's probably more direct if they call them Nutella vessels, Nutella capsules, Nutella doses.
Nutella capsules, because actually, I think that's very good, because actually the packet itself has that kind of capsule quality. I imagine probably they originally called it Nutella capsules and then focus grouped and it didn't scan. The thing is, I'm debating now with myself whether to just get straight to the point or to spend some time talking about Nutella, because there may be people listening to this that aren't familiar with Nutella. What do you say? It's kind of like hazelnuts with the illusion of chocolatiness.
How far down this road do we go, David?
Exactly. Do we have to start talking about
love?
What?
People who haven't experienced love, and you've got to describe what love is for them, you know? How far down this road are we
going to go? Oh, I see what you mean. You're saying it's not our job to describe every single thing. Okay.
What would Uniform Man do?
Who's Uniform Man?
Your character.
No, I'm not. I've told you this before. I'm not a character. I'm just wearing my International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review podcast uniform, which I thought you were going to wear as well.
Yeah.
And it's fine that you're not. I respect your decision. And I see that you've got this idea and it's, you know, we'll see how it plays out and how people respond to it. Yeah. This will be an interesting kind of like, you know, learning experience. We're all learning together.
Yeah.
But don't put that on me though.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Like,
if I'm going to respect you, you can respect me back. If
respect.
That's mutual respect. That's how... You know, teamwork makes the dream work.
Okay, I apologize. I respect your uniform costume. It's a great costume.
Just a uniform.
Just a uniform. Sorry.
With the costume thing, but okay.
Costume. I respect.
Respect.
Costume.
Good. Everyone's feeling a lot of respect right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling respective in my little jingly jester hat.
Yeah. Did he actually wear a jester hat? Or is that like a little kind of thing that you've added?
It's
sort of visual cue.
Well, I just, thought I'd put it on for the show to kind of add a visual aspect for the
kind
the
of
listeners.
In the same way where they've added the fruit. It's like you're just kind of getting the meaning across.
Yeah.
It's not literal.
Yeah, I'm just kind of putting myself next to it, you know? Okay, then for taste is tricky.
I mean, it's not that tricky. Five.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah. What this has done expertly is bypassed the biscuit taste and given me the biscuit experience, but with a good taste instead.
Right. Okay, then.
And that is a 5-star experience for me.
All right, then. Well, I think for me, as David the Holy Fool, it's a 1. Wow!
It's a 1.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't. I'm quite shocked.
I must be a pretty big bloody fool to give it a 1, eh?
Yeah, I would have said so.
Yeah, I guess you're probably perhaps looking inside yourself now, right? And reflecting on why you like it so much.
No, I'm wondering how you came to such a foolish... Oh, I see. Because you're a fool, that's how you came to the foolish conclusion.
The penny drops.
Right.
Another miracle.
Is that actually what you're going to give it?
Actually, just for the sake of... integrity of the show. No, I'm gonna give it a 4.
A 4 is a much better score.
But a 1, it's a 1.
Wait, is it one?
No, it's not really a 1. It's a 4, really.
Is the purpose of this to sort of confuse? Is that what is fun about it?
No. I think it's quite clear that, you know, actually it's technically a 4, but it's a 1.
Right.
Woo!
Okay. You keep throwing your hands up.
I'm a fool. I'm right. Silly, you know?
So very, very high, or if you want to go along with the sort of the underlying narrative that we have going through this episode, listeners, then it's a 1, but actually it's a 4 out of 5, which is really very impressive.
Yeah.
Do you have any reasoning for your scores?
Well, yeah, it's Nutella, and Nutella's very tasty.
It's kind of all you can say, isn't it?
It is, really. I mean, like, the biscuit gets Nutella into you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't detract from the Nutella. Mm. It doesn't add to it.
Yeah.
But delivers you a big hit of Nutella, which is good. We've kind of made this rod for our backs in terms of, you know, how we score things. So yeah, it's got to be a 4.
Good.
Okay, so that's taste done with. Before we move on to texture and dunkability, the never tedious history section.
It is never tedious. It's actually always interesting and informative.
Yeah, maybe we can make it a bit silly as well somehow.
Well, I don't think that's necessary for this particular segment.
I think the silliness.
I think what we want to do here is get the information across so the listeners have something to kind of hold on to.
Okay.
Like factual. Some calm in the storm, you know.
Okay. Really good at the uniform man pieces. Really.
It's not...
The uniform.
I don't keep bringing up your costume, so don't see why you need to keep bringing up my normal clothes.
Would, to be honest.
Oh.
You know, maybe it's a bit of projecting. Maybe I'm projecting a bit.
Well, looks very good.
It looks silly, yeah?
It looks very foolish.
There you go. Yeah.
The hat is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there, because otherwise it, as I say, looks identical to every other costume that you've worn.
What you wear should project kind of you and who you are. So
yes, I agree. 100%.
Me with this and the jester hat. Mm. I'm sure Simeon looked pretty silly with his dead dog.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Accessories. Matt Hancock always looked fucking ridiculous as well. Mm-hmm. You know, all the same thing, you know, like let's dress the fool.
Or let's just dress in a manner that communicates who we are.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, the history. It's kind of the history of Nutella, really.
These are Nutella capsules.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we don't need to justify that we're going to be talking about Nutella because they're biscuits. There's nothing to say.
Exactly. And it's just a natural evolution. It'd be like, you know, saying like, oh, yeah, humans emerged on, you know, the 2nd of January, 342,000 BC. You couldn't do that. It's natural evolution. You wouldn't kind of like pinpoint when it happened. It just happened.
You do believe in evolution?
No, obviously not, because that's the silliest thing of all.
Right.
You know? Monkeys and frogs turning into...
turning into people. Yeah.
Turning into people, yeah.
Yeah, you got your monkey people and your frog people. Unfortunately segregated, but we're making leaps and bounds towards progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, frog leaps and bounds towards progress.
So yeah, so Nutella, invented by... Well, actually, Nutella is a form of Gianduja, I think. Which is a chocolate and hazelnut paste, which is invented in Turin in northern Italy.
Love a good paste.
Yeah, love a good paste. I'd call it a cram.
Yeah, you do keep doing that.
Yeah, I like to do that.
Bad every time.
Yeah. This fella, this baker in Alba in Italy, Pietro Ferrero, Mr. Ferrero.
I think I've heard that name before. Yeah. Maker of cars?
No.
That was me doing some humor there.
That was a silliness.
Yeah,
was
that
it?
Was some silliness.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, thank
you. That was quite good.
See, I do think we're rubbing off on each other. I hope you will rub more off me than I rub. You know what I mean.
Right, okay, yeah.
Because I've done some rubbing. Maybe it's your turn as well to do some rubbing and become more serious uniform. And focused and structured.
Invented his own Gianduja in 1946. Albert was well known for its production of hazelnuts. His recipe included more hazelnuts because there wasn't a lot of cocoa around because of a little event called World War II. Mm. Not so much chocolate, so he just packed it full of hazelnuts instead.
That is a form of innovation, isn't it? By just adding more of one of the ingredients.
Yeah, smart, cutting costs.
And now you're laughing because plenty of chocolate in the world.
Yeah.
Now that we've allegedly ended World War II. But not a lot.
Allegedly.
Of...
Which forums have you been on recently?
I just don't want to deal in absolutes.
But
not a lot of hazelnut-based pastes. So now, thanks to that innovation of just being a bit cheap, they've cornered a market.
Oh, yeah,
they've dominated a market.
Yeah, they seem like they're kind of the premium ones almost. Mm. But funny to say about dominating the market, because Nutella, apparently Ferrero, buys 25% of the world's hazelnuts. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
I don't know how many hazelnuts produced, but I'm assuming there are a lot of hazelnuts produced and sold.
It's also something I imagine they try to not shout about because they have this kind of supposed authenticity, but they're buying their hazelnuts from across the world.
Yeah. Are you suggesting that Nutella should have like a more nationalist side? That it's just like it's all Italian, nothing but Italian?
I think they want to project a more nationalist side.
Right, okay. So possibly dealing with perhaps a slightly fascist, ethno-nationalist biscuit. Interesting. Interesting.
Just calling Nutella fascists.
No, allegedly. Allegedly. Again, allegedly they're fascist. Allegedly World War II is still in progress. We don't want to rule anything in, don't rule anything out. Let's keep it all in play.
That's right.
Yeah, so Pietro made his recipe, went down a storm. His son, Mikhail, went to market across Europe. So he tweaked the recipe and called it Nutella. First started selling Nutella in 1964. So Nutella, kind of a chocolate hazelnut paste. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the two main ingredients are? The top two?
Is one of them hazelnut?
Nope.
Okay. Palm oil?
Yes.
Okay. and sugar?
Yes, there you go. Ding, ding. Yeah. He's got both of them.
Just thought, what could the two worst main ingredients be?
Exactly. You nailed it. Yeah, sugar and palm oil. So number three, hazelnuts, which make up 13%. But legally, in a lot of places, it's called a chocolate paste, but not in Italy because there's so little chocolate in it, they can't call it a chocolate paste.
That makes sense.
But, you know, they're not afraid to innovate. So in 2017, they changed the recipe. People more aware of what they're consuming. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of a bit more health conscious. So they took the chocolate and hazelnut spread and they increased the sugar in the milk in it.
Great.
And decreased the cocoa in it.
Great.
Yeah, so just more fat and sugar for your buck.
And was there a sort of philosophical reason for doing that?
I imagine sugar and milk both pretty cheap, cocoa relatively expensive. Maybe perhaps, you know, some of the child labor stuff. You know, there's been a fight against child labor, so perhaps some of that cheap child labor chocolate is no longer available. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we can't afford to buy the non-child labor stuff. Allegedly.
I mean, it's definitely not allegedly.
So yeah, so I imagine that was the rationale.
Yeah, and I guess looking back to the past for your inspiration for innovation, because why did they increase the amount of hazelnuts in the first place? Didn't have enough chocolate.
Yeah, they should have just said, you know, we are paying respect to our heritage by having even less chocolate in it.
Yeah,
you know,
by cutting corners even more.
Exactly. Yeah, staying true to our brand. But it's not all been plain sailing and happy news and multi-billion dollar revenues for Ferrero and the Nutella brand. In 2012, they lost a class action lawsuit in the USA, which was brought by people objecting to an advertising message which said that Nutella was, quote, part of a nutritious breakfast.
That's very interesting because, as we were talking about earlier, they are trying to now just imply exact sentiment. And maybe that is because of this lawsuit.
Yeah, like why have you got nutritious breakfast on your package? We haven't. We got a picture.
We're not saying it's healthy. We're just saying, you know, there's some healthy food.
There's other foods.
We're not saying that it's part of a healthy diet.
We're saying it's equivalent. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not.
We're just saying you can eat this and eat this other healthy food.
Again, not ruling anything out, not ruling anything in. Mm. Let's just keep it open. So yeah, so that's kind of the history I've got on Nutella.
I did see that Ferrero used to have the sort of mantra, slogan, whatever, of good ideas conquer the world.
Good ideas conquer the world.
Good ideas conquer the world. Mm, it's such a subjective thing.
Is it kind of, I can't really call it, is it like axiomatic where it's like something, it proves the state and proves itself? Mm. Like if something has conquered the world, then it is by definition good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's like saying, well, the way that things are now must be good because they are the way things are.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems to kind of remove the element of thought from the equation. Yeah.
Yeah, thought and judgment. Yeah.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Just accept it.
Yeah.
This is good.
Good ideas. Yeah. Conquer the world. Okay.
I don't think there's much to say about Ferrero or Nutella other than they are huge corporations. They are fairly secretive with their ingredients and working practices, and are occasionally mired in controversies.
So yeah, the company apparently places great emphasis on secrecy and has never held a press conference, does not allow media to visit its plants.
I think it was the BBC who did a story on inhumane working conditions of hazelnut pickers.
We had no idea. We only buy 25% of the world's hazelnuts. Yeah. We're just a poor innocent little hazelnut buyer. Scumbags.
But you know, successful, so.
So well, who good ideas conquer the world.
Exactly.
You know? That's right. So, yeah, who's to say whether it's good or bad? Yeah. Okay, so texture and dunkability. Let's have another biscuit.
Yeah. Just put your hand into the slit.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't said that.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to go with that on the packaging, but, you know. You go for another one already.
No, I'm taking this one out so that I can feel it with my fingers. Because when you bite into it, it reduces the integrity of the vessel.
Right.
This is like premium texture as far as I'm concerned. Especially the way it feels in my hand. Mm. Lifting this up to your mouth is going to exert some energy. That's how big and weighty it is.
You're aware of it. You're not just shoveling these bad boys in one after another. And you can remove the lid, so you just kind of got the pure Nutella.
I see you've done that, and it looks wrong. It does,
doesn't it?
It looks kind of like you've exposed it.
Yeah, it does. It feels a bit indecent.
It does.
Overall. I actually don't love the texture that much.
Okay.
I think the biscuit is too crumbly. It also does stick in your teeth quite a lot as well.
That's interesting, because I don't find that at all. But this does have a continuity with previous episodes, because you have an established fondness for soft, mulchy.
Yeah, I basically want to eat everything in paste form.
Like a bug.
Yeah.
It needs to dissolve its food before it ingests it.
Exactly. So, you know, this is the filling I love, because this is a filled biscuit. It's not quite a sandwich biscuit, but, you know, it's the same sort of family.
Yes,
same genus.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe it as a sandwich biscuit.
Pie biscuit.
You said filled biscuit or pie biscuit as if there's anything else in that category.
Well, it's a new category. It's a new category. But I say it's almost like it's on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And like at the one end, you've got jammy dodges, which is like, yeah, okay, it's a sandwich biscuit, but the center is you cannot separate it from the other parts.
Yeah.
The other extreme end to jammy dodges, you got this, where it's like, try and keep the filling in, you know? You take off that lid and, you're going to get that filling everywhere, boy. So you've got your pie... Your pie, and then you've got your pie lid on top, but around the edge of the lid, you can see the Nutella. You can see kind of the brown ring of the Nutella.
Yes.
Yet it's solid, and like the pie lid is not moving. The pie lid does not flex. But then as soon as you kind of bite into it, it's pure cream.
That's right.
The pie lid should be moving.
Is it a different type of Nutella? Is there two types of Nutella here? Is there the liquid form and the solid form? Whoa. That's what it seems like.
This is the most sophisticated biscuit we've ever had. More so than I'd say even the Glycobisco.
Well, that's probably because we don't yet understand the Glycobisco fully. The thing about this biscuit is I feel like I do understand it, and you can sort of appreciate how sophisticated it is because you can see how it works. Whereas with Glyco, I don't have the imagination.
Yeah, and I mean, we're several years on from that now, so they're probably... Or biscuits are NFTs or something.
They're like in cyberspace or something. Now,
yeah, right? Exactly. They're in the metaverse.
There are swarms of like nanobot Glyco biscuits already feasting on the ruined remains of Tokyo, I imagine.
Allegedly, Tokyo is a biscuit city.
Yeah.
They just reconstituted all the carbon into biscuits.
Tokyo is probably my favorite place I've ever been, and maybe that's why.
It was made out of biscuits.
Now we're at the interesting part.
I'm a little bit worried.
We are dunking in hot tea, listeners. You know, this isn't milk. This isn't some other cool liquid. There's a chance of melting.
Okay, so on first dunk, the capsule is basically impervious to hot liquid.
I don't know what I expected. Of course, why would it be any different? Of course the capsule is waterproof.
Of course it is. They're not going to let you ruin their careful composition. But now we've fractured the capsule. It's exposed, so I think this is the real test now.
So I held it in slightly longer, and I would say despite the vessel being compromised and the longer dunk, no discernible transformation.
Yeah, I've just gone for a 5-second dunk, no change.
I don't know how to feel. I almost feel like empty.
You know what I feel? Powerless.
Mm.
Pre-dunking, you're eating the biscuit on its terms. You know, the biscuit is in control. The biscuit is the one leading the way. The dunk is your chance. Put your stamp on things, to take things in a different direction. And like the longer I dunked it, still nothing. It was like in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, the finest work of art, certainly of the 20th century, possibly ever. When T-1000 gets frozen by the liquid nitrogen towards the end.
Yes.
And they shoot him and he explodes, like, oh, he's done. Comes back together, still going.
Can't be stopped.
Same deal with the Nutella.
And I think that comes back to something we've touched on earlier that maybe didn't explore as much as we should have, which is that this is the Skynet of biscuits.
So allegedly, if robots are now in charge of the Ferrero Corporation and making these, then it's scary.
Yeah. And I'm going to give it 5 stars. That's what I
want. Really?
I think this is where we differ the most, like generally. And I've noticed this trend. Yeah. You like a soft biscuit to get your little buggy mandibles into. I like hard biscuits.
Right, okay.
It's fun to eat. There's like different levels of it that you go through. And there's like a liquid component to it. But it's also fun to hold in your hands because it's like this kind of big toy coin or something.
Yeah.
And it's got this stamp and it's got patterns on it. And it has that kind of ritual sacrifice kind of vibe as well.
Yeah.
There's all these things going on.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. So you're not going to do the...
No, it's actually a 1.
Okay, so you did do the... I feel like your heart's not in it this time.
Yeah, no, it's just a 3, to be honest. I'm kind of struggling with the silliness now. I feel like going back to that quote about, you know, kind of how God has chosen me personally.
What quote was that?
It wasn't about me. It was about Saint Simeon. But I think we've established that we're basically one and the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the quote was, God chooses, quote, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say that the Nutella biscuit is wise and strong.
Yes.
And I'm throwing my foolishness at it.
You're trying to stand up to the biscuit, but the biscuit is so far beyond you that you just come across as impotent.
Yeah, I'm a flea on an elephant's ass. I just not even touching it.
Yeah, because I suppose the point of being this kind of foolish jester character is to thumb your nose at authority.
Yeah.
But if they're not even looking at you or aware of your existence, what impact are you really having?
But actually on the texture of it, it's a 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Too hard? Too challenging?
Too hard, too challenging. It was crumbly in a way I didn't like it. It kind of like exploded into a lot of little crumbs which stuck around my mouth. You know, the pace is great, so that's kind of saves it from a 2 or a 1. But yes, it's a 3.
Well, I'm glad you just gave me a straight answer that time instead of all the foolishness. Feels like we're reconstructing a bit, reconfiguring. This is kind of what I wanted from the start. Perhaps we're going in an exciting new direction here.
You've rubbed off on me a bit. I can rub off on you now.
Well, I think you've already rubbed off on me a little bit because I've been a bit more fun than I was otherwise planning to be.
I think perhaps you need to be a bit sillier. I think if we're going to overcome the Nutella biscuit, we're going to have to be very silly.
Okay, that's interesting. I wasn't aware that we were here to overcome the product.
I think it's become patently obvious that this is a direct threat to not just this show, but probably the existence of humanity.
Okay. In that case, I suppose we should get on to reviews.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if other people have cottoned on to the threat in Nutella then. So looking at the reviews on Amazon.co.uk, 4.2 out of 5. So maybe?
That's lower than I expected.
Yeah, me too. Well, it's because a lot of them just turn up to people's houses in crumbs.
Right.
That's a more comment on the delivery system.
They're so hardy. How would you...
Yeah, you have to really smash them about. Them. Yeah. But hey, it's not beyond Hermes to do that to a biscuit as tough as this.
I mean, maybe they're the front line of the freedom fighters.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. After me cursing Hermes all these years, maybe they're actually the only thing standing between us and Nutella taking over, smashing at the biscuits. Lots of 5 stars as well, though. Jamie Lee, 5 stars. I love these. Delicious. And a fair size. The price is a little high for what you get, in my opinion. But need to take the new custom fees and taxes into account, I guess. That might be the most British review ever. Yeah. It's not great, but what are you going to do about it?
I mean, if you're British, nothing.
Exactly, absolutely. Okay, moving on then. We got Joanne, 5 stars. Title, Nutella Biscuits. I bought these for my son, thinking he would love them, but he didn't. My son can be the most fussy person in the world, so I ate them and I liked them. Do you know what I think is Joanne's son? Freedom fighter. That could be John Connor.
Could just also be a child with an unsophisticated palate. I don't know why Joanne has chosen this space to review her son.
Yeah, kind of calling your son out like that. Not necessary.
Very unnecessary, I would say.
Next up, we got Lou98, 5 stars. Yummy. The best things I've ever eaten. A bit pricey, but they are so nice.
I feel like if you're going to say something is the best thing you've ever eaten, I don't think you can complain about £3.50 price.
No, yeah.
Unless the previous best thing you've ever eaten is like bran flakes or something.
Just nettles, which were free. And the final one, it's a 2-star. It's a 2-star review. Isabella, expensive, not worth it. Way too expensive for what they are. Pretty lame. You know, I'm not going to say that you can't criticize these biscuits. You can, I have. Right. Lame is not a word that I'd use to describe these.
No, it does sort of smack of trying a bit too hard.
Yeah. You know what I reckon? This is Lou98's alter ego. This is our alt account. So we've got Lou, you know, the best things I've ever eaten. A bit pricey, but they're so nice. She's kind of, you know, oh, I love these, but God, they're expensive.
Right.
That review, 22nd of January. Isabella, expensive, not worth it, 18th of February.
Mm.
Lou has clearly been craving these, or maybe she's bought some more and it's bankrupted her. And the only way she can kind of get out of this is by just saying like, oh no, they're too expensive, they're lame. Kind of lie to herself.
I mean, I understand they are very expensive.
They are expensive.
But they're also the best thing you've ever eaten, so... Can you put a price on that? Yes, you can. It's £3.50.
It's £3.50. And like, yeah, how are you going to resist them? You're going to have to either construct some delusion that they're not tasty,
mm-hmm.
Or you've got to kill yourself.
Those are the only two options. Options.
I can't think of any others. If there are any others, you know, write in, let us know.
Call in.
Send a memo.
Yeah.
Okay, so social media from the official Nutella account. Love the taste of Nutella? Try it in a crunchy biscuit to share with the people you love. A picture of the biscuits on a desk next to a MacBook. And I've just noticed, what, you know what's in the background?
What?
Apples and oranges. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's, okay, right. So this is clearly something which is, some bit of code is going to the system where it's like Nutella must always be presented next to apples and oranges. I like this picture as well. It's like the words and the picture don't match up. It's like, love the taste of Nutella, trying a crunchy biscuit to share with the people you love. But then the picture is just of a laptop on a table with some fruit in the background. There's no people in the picture.
Unless this wasn't written by someone with a corporeal form. Someone who might think a laptop
could be a friend.
Yeah.
I've seen the humans. They spend all their time with the laptops. Yeah. Those are their best friends.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to post on Facebook. And like, you look at the picture and it does, there's something unreal about it as well. It does look like it's been fashioned by an AI, which has just had some inputs. And it's like, yes, this is what the humans want for the Nutella biscuits.
It's like wheels within wheels. I'm starting to see this kind of pattern unfold where we were talking about the subliminal messaging and then the palm trees of the Malvina Cocoa, the logo on the Jammy Dodger. And now the biscuit designed by an AI, but it's more advanced, more sophisticated. Exactly, yeah. It's not like, you know, sorry, hang on a sec. ChatGPT? Okay, I think she's sleeping.
Okay.
It's not like it was designed by like an AI program.
It has awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What Nutella have done is they've looked at all the other biscuits, harvested the data from those biscuits. They've taken elements and they've improved, evolved. Yeah. They're the next stage.
Well, you think about it. I mean, I think one of the main criticisms about the Jammy Dodgers is that they're just so incoherent.
Mm.
It's like you had this silly, wacky packaging, but then you had this biscuit, which was a shortcake, which is a very unwacky biscuit.
Shortcake. Yeah. Shortcake. The most boring, conservative biscuit block.
Mm.
For listeners, I'm holding up the biscuit to
He's doing it in dramatic fashion.
Colleague David. It's the same thing. You don't register the biscuit when you eat it. You register the Nutella. The biscuit is just the vessel. And they've taken that from the shortbread, I guarantee it.
To get as much palm oil and sugar into you because that's what the humans like.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the humans crave.
The next stage of this is like those little hamster water bottles just full of palm oil and sugar for your little human cage.
Wait. How did it get all this information? How did it learn? Let me just... Okay. Got something here. Subsidiary of the Ferrero SPA, Burton's Biscuit.
No.
Burton's Biscuit,
no.
Owner of
no.
Jammy Dodgers,
no.
Maryland Cookies. When did this start happening? When did the Ferrero Corporation become self-aware? I think we can pin it down in 2017 when they changed the recipe.
Okay.
When they took out the chocolate, put in more palm oil and sugar, that was the moment Ferrero Corporation became self-aware.
I feel like this has derailed the whole format of the show. And I really wanted us to stick the landing on this one because I do worry that we're very limited in scope. We have this reputation of being a kind of scrappy show, you know, kind of like an underdog. We're kind of a little bit rough around the edges.
Yeah, okay.
And obviously that is abhorrent to me. I think what we need to be is clean, clear, focused, hitting a much wider demographic. Mm-hmm. And perhaps to do that, we need to become more broad in appeal, more mainstream.
Okay.
And that was my intention coming in today. That's kind of what I was bringing to the table for, for this episode. And you know, you were a little bit resistant to it, but I think you've come around as well to that mode of thinking. But then this Nutella capsules have basically just dominated the whole show.
It raises the question, like, how do we fight back? Do we use structure and form to fight back? I feel like that's trying to play it on its own terms.
I hear what you're saying about fighting back. I'd like to propose an alternative route.
Right.
We submit.
Really?
Well, I'll tell you what. We could go in two different directions here. What I've found on my self-discovery journey is that I don't have any self to discover.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is awkward.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's kind of put me in an unfortunate position for this episode because I don't feel like I have enough of a personality to resist these biscuits.
Right. Okay.
But you, my friend, you do.
Okay. Yeah.
So here's what I'm thinking.
Right.
I have two potential biscuit scores for the Nutella capsules. And you're going to pick.
Okay.
And which one you decide also decides the fate of the show. So these biscuits, they're the pinnacle, right? They're the platonic ideal. And they've done that by harvesting the data of the Burton's biscuits, right? Like the Jammy Dodgers, the Maryland cookies.
Makes sense.
They have used that information to create the perfect biscuit organism. So it's a five. Or these biscuits are an abomination. They go against everything that biscuits stand for. There is nothing comforting about them. There is nothing nostalgic about them. There is nothing homely or familiar or authentic about them. They are biscuits made by Skynet. It's a zero.
And it's on me to choose.
It's on you to choose because I don't have the will. I'm just a, what did you call me? Mr. Suit?
It's actually Mr. Uniform.
Okay. See, I couldn't even get that right.
And that, my friend, is why it gets a zero. Because of that imperfection. Because an AI would never make that kind of stupid mistake. So I've repeatedly said Mr. Uniform, and the AI would have paid attention, okay? You have not done that.
Yeah.
It's something that Skynet, which manufactures these biscuits allegedly, will never understand is that the platonic ideal that you referred to is not about having something which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's about having something which is mediocre or maybe slightly better than mediocre. It's about having something with a cup of tea in a drab room just to break up the day and just to get through. And even though Skynet has put biscuits on the packet, you and I both know from our experience, it's not a biscuit.
It's not a biscuit. This feels good.
Okay.
This feels really good.
Okay. Well, my score out of five is banana.
What?
I am retaining my silliness, my humanity. The AI can never do something as foolish as this. The AI can never think to be foolish. They can never see the benefit of being foolish, whereas I can.
You're right. They never would have predicted that you would say banana.
Exactly.
No machine could.
Exactly. And that's why we'll win.
So you're not even going to give it a score. You're just going to say banana.
I'm saying banana. That's
I mean,
my score.
I'm not giving it a score. You've given it my score, which is zero, which isn't a score.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very rebellious right now.
I'm feeling good. I feel like, I think we've won.
Yeah. I think I might loosen my tie.
Yeah, man. Just a little bit. Even better than that. You know what?
What?
Loosen your tie.
Yeah.
Take it off. Put it around your head like a bandana.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. Like I'm doing that now. Doing it. I'm doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And just, hold on a second. It's actually quite fiddly.
Okay, there we go.
I bet I look pretty rebellious now.
It looks
don't
like
I?
Ryu from Street Fighter. If Ryu also worked in an office as well.
Yeah, and wasn't as strong
as you.
If he wasn't strong, it would look like me.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Then. I thought you were saying you were stronger than Ryu.
No, I'm definitely not. No, he'd kill me pretty quickly.
Well, he's a professional Street Fighter. You know, what do you expect, really?
Actually, that's a good point. He wouldn't kill me. He seems like a cool guy. He wouldn't consider me a challenge.
No, you'd be kind of in the screen with the bloody face and the 10, 9, and there'd be something like, you know, you should train harder to stop looking like a fool.
I don't think he'd fight me. I think he would think it was dishonorable.
Ken would fuck you up. But I'm feeling good, man. I feel like
I feel fantastic.
I think we beat Skynet.
I think we did. Yeah,
That's
I think
awesome,
we beat
man.
Big Nutella.
That's awesome. Yeah. There's just something which is just kind of bugging me, though.
Okay. you've got your head in your hands, which is not never a good sign. Yeah.
So we know that the Ferrero Corporation, which is allegedly controlled and run by Skynet.
Allegedly, we're just reporting on this.
They acquired Burton's Biscuits, presumably and allegedly, to collect data on human consumption of biscuits. Both of those biscuits were so incredibly flawed, we hated them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe the data we got from that could have resulted in this biscuit. There's something missing here. There's some extra data that it's collected.
Okay, so what do we know? It became self-aware when? 2017?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Maybe the quality reviews on Amazon just became much more insightful. Is probably that.
Right.
And maybe that's when people started, saying, oh, hey, Oreos, this is what's great about Oreos. Hey, this is what's great about, those weird gold bars.
So it's not just the data that is harvested from the biscuits themselves. It's harvested from the reviews, like how we've been reading out reviews on our show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like the way we've reviewed, the Glycobisco,
mm-hmm.
the Ginger Nuts, the malted milks,
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many biscuits have we reviewed spending hours talking in insightfully and knowledgeably about biscuits?
Series one, there was 24 biscuits. Mm, I mean,
yeah.
Like we were having simultaneous mental breakdowns at the time.
That's
which
right,
explains
yeah.
that. Wait a minute, when did series one come out?
2017.
Oh my god,
it's us. It's listening to us. It's harvesting us.
You've been listening to the International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review Podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a moment to leave 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. You can also support the International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/definitelyhuman. I'm David Price, he's David Knight, and we'll be back next month to review Finey Biscuits Wafer Sticks. And remember, hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. Have a great month.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.